So Psalm 147, 10, and 11 really changes the perspective on our on what we should be hoping for and what God can provide. So just hoping to kind of think about some God-sized expectations, because when we trust in the little things and we trust in what we can handle, what we can manage with our own. Just our own, I don't know, just whatever you can fit in your own grip. We typically think, oh yeah, if I can hold on to it, then I can trust it. and it seems to be the very opposite of what God's perspective is. You know, I mean, we think if we lean on things, we grab things. Okay, now I've got this perspective. Right now, with so much uncertainty, the conspiracy theories that are out there right now about who caused this. And by the way, it wasn't Satan. It was Bill Gates himself, you know, who did this. Anyway, just this whole experience of uncertainty has led people to just grasp anything to try to make sense because they've got to stabilize their lives. When in time of super uncertainty, people are grasping at straws, literally grasping at reeds, grasping at whatever they can to try to stabilize their situation. And Yahweh alone is worthy of that kind of focus and attention. Let me just read these two verses. I'm going to read them backwards, verse 11 and then 10, and then I'm going to go back into it a little bit. But this is out of the First Testament, this version I've been enjoying. So verse 11 says, Yahweh values people who live in awe of him, people who put their expectation in his commitment. So he values those kind of people. He's super excited about those kind of people who are just, wow, God, you are awesome. God, you are amazing. Those praise songs that you've been singing as you walk through the woods on the trails. God, you're the one I should trust in. You're the one I should hope in. In sickness and in waiting for tests to come back, we put our expectation in his commitment. And so, of course, that needs to be explored. What is he committed to? And how much can I trust him? But the verse before it is just really interesting. So this comes right before. It says, he doesn't delight in the strength of a horse. I love this very literal. He doesn't value the thighs of a person. You know, and I think we get a little bit, this is like horse and rider, right? This is the strong warrior motif when you're facing down the uncertain, you know, the battle and when you feel like you are being surrounded and that anxiety that's coming and when you feel like the pandemic is out of control and it's coming, it's going to eat everything. It's going to, you know, that experience. God says, I don't put my trust in, I don't get excited about, the strength of a human or the ability of you, to manipulate a horse and to do that. He doesn't delight in the strength of a horse or value those things. What he values is trust, you know? You know, the Bible talks about in other places, don't put your trust in chariots. Don't put your trust in princes. Don't put your trust in mortal men who cannot save. And I think today we're talking more like this. These are the charioteers right now that are coming toward us. Like, well, I had a retirement fund or I had some hope that I could manage something. Maybe you don't trust in a horse, but you're trusting in the little piggy, right? You're trusting in the piggy bank going, okay, well, I used to be okay. I had a bit of margin and now it's getting kind of tight. This has been the experience for a lot of people, more month than money. And that's why we're figuring out as a church and we've been in this conversation even tonight about how we can be in helping with food and food insecurity and those kinds of things. But our trust, when it gets right down to it, has got to be in something other than that. Because when the piggy banks face a crisis, we have to figure out what are we actually going to lean into? How are we going to walk our way through this? During this kind of uncertainty, it's super important that we look to God first and then his other provision. So some of you know that our church has, we liquidated a money market account, and we were just accepted today, and I signed the papers and sent them back for kind of a loan forgiveness program with our lender. So we're going to pay $3,800 less a month for the next 6 months. So that's pretty awesome. We got that figured out. That's great. We're doing some other things as a church to with the CARES Act to try to get some forgivable loans and some of those things. So totally true. And I remember one of our conversations with the finance committee and the elders the other night, it was like, well, Aaron, do you have anything to say at the end of this? Because we were doing details and signing documents and we've got all this kind of stuff. And I was like, yeah, I got something to say. Let's remember that God is our provider. And let's communicate that God is our provider, that he is the provider with the capital P. And if God comes through with this CARES Act and the loan forgiveness and we're able to access these kind of funds and we're able to do that, awesome. But who provides for us? And I think it's just so important. Even God doesn't trust in chariots. We shouldn't be going after what man can accomplish for us to get us out of these crazy, tough scenarios. So it's really a call, and it's a check. I know, even as we've discussed tonight, okay, I'm looking at all these things. I'm looking at the impending crises, and my heart has got to go first to who God is and what commitments he's made to me, and then move forward from there. So I think that's really important. So here's back in verse 5 and 6. Our Lord is great and mighty in energy. Of his understanding, there is no reckoning. Yahweh restores the humble. Those could be people who are humbled, like poor, but it also certainly means their hearts are in expectation and anticipation of what God can do, not what they can pull off on their own. And that comes along with poverty, a recognition of, okay, I'm actually not in a great situation, and I am in a crisis. And so, but God restores them. But those who are wicked or faithless, he brings them down. And so here's your singing song. Chant for Yahweh with confession. Tell him how good he is. Make music for our God with the guitar. He's the one who covers the heavens with clouds. And that's all his work. He provides rain for the earth. He makes the mountains grow grass. He gives their food to cattle, to the offspring of the raven when they call. And think of Jesus. Remember when he was on his Sermon on the Mount, he's like, consider the lilies, consider the birds, right? This is the same motif of like, we've got a gracious provider God. Why aren't you talking to him? Why are you looking somewhere else? He doesn't delight in the strength of a horse. He doesn't value the thighs of a person, the strength of the leg, the horse and rider. But he values people who live in awe of him. People who put their expectation in his commitment. That's just, for me, beautiful. I think that one thing I've learned is that we've got to stop putting our expectation in people, because when we do that, it's a recipe for frustration. Have you noticed that? Where you were hoping they would hold up their end of the bargain. You were really expecting them to be able to pull it off. And then they say something like, or act like, well, I'm only human. Like, doggone it. Yeah, I get it. You are only human. And that means that you're not going to come through on your commitments. That's pretty awful. But, you know, and the other aspect of that would be expectations without communication lead to frustration. And then resentment, right? So if we haven't even, sometimes that's my mode. I would expect you to figure this out, you know, and then you didn't. And now I'm frustrated with you or bitter or whatever. But we need to start anticipating God. You know, anticipating the one who makes the clouds and makes the rain and makes the food and feeds the ravens and consider the lilies and how he cares for them. And I think that's going to just need to be a rhythm in our lives. You know, when you check your bank account, before you do that, talk to God, your provider. You know, when you, whatever these little rhythms are, have some checks in your, okay, I'm going to watch the news, but remember, God, give me a good filter so that I learn that when I turn off the news, I'm still trusting in you, right? instead of, okay, I'm going to check Facebook for this. I'm going to go here for that. I'm going to check the news for this. I'm going to do that. Talk with God about that. Say, hey, how's my intake? You know, am I relying on this too much? How can I regard you, live in awe of you and your power and your passion and your ability to fulfill your commitments? And that's the kind of God we serve. And isn't that awesome? So, I think it'd be good to discuss just what has God committed to us? And then how can we trust him? Because some people go hungry. Some people struggle. I have a friend who was talking with another friend. I can't publish any of this information or talk too much about it, but he's in a North African country and was held captive by Al-Qaeda for a couple years. And when this guy got out, he talked about how God provided, and he ate bits of garbage in the street and a lot of grass for those 2 years, and was able to find this and was able to find that, and God sustained him. And now he's got stories to tell that you wouldn't believe, right? And you're like, I would like better provision than that. And yet, I will tell you this one statement. He said this, when Al-Qaeda was coming in, and they're just going to be done with him now because he was under this house arrest. But they went to shoot him, and multiple guys, multiple rifles, and the guns kept just going away, flopping off, and hitting the wall instead of him, until they got frustrated and left. And when finally, when he was freed, and his wife came back, what are all these holes in the wall? He's like, well, they were trying to shoot me, but God just kept saying no. And this is what he said, it crushes me because my expectation of what God should be doing for me is so different than this. But listen to his words. He says this, we are invincible as long as God has work for us to do. Invincible. Because who protects you? It's him. And so you know this because you've heard it from people. Wow, that accident, I should have lost my life. Apparently God has more for me to do. I mean, we know this kind of instinctively, right? There's this like, oh yeah, God has more for me to do. If we could get that picture in our minds, that not to do dangerous things on purpose, but that we're invincible with the armor of God to go do what God has called us to do. We are invincible as long as he has a task for us to do. If he calls us home, he calls us home. But I just think that's a powerful way to live. And I love that verse where it says he is just mighty with energy. Our Lord is great and mighty in energy. Of his understanding, there's no reckoning. He restores the humble. That's the kind of people that I think he's calling us as a church to be. And who knows that we might not have more and more and more great stories to tell about how apparently he's not done with me yet, because look at how he worked in my life.